Please join us in our act of praise. It will be on the screen. It is also found in your hymnal, number 788.
My soul is thirsting for you, O Lord, thirsting for you.
My God, I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, and my flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where no water is.
So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory.
Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you.
So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name.
My soul is thirsting for you, O Lord, thirsting for you, my God.
My soul is feasted as with marrow and fat, and my mouth praises with joyful lips when I think of you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night.
For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me.
My soul is thirsting for you.
But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth.
They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be prey for jackals.
But the king shall rejoice in God.
All who swear in God's name shall glory, but the mouths of liars will be stopped.
My soul is thirsting for you, O Lord, thirsting for you, my God.
Standing and affirm our faith together in this historic confession of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
As it was in the beginning, is now.
seated. As a community of faith, we express our faith in God by expressing our needs, becoming a little bit vulnerable before our brothers and sisters in Christ. So if you are so led or burdened or are overflowing with joy and want to lift up the community, I invite you to do so. Do you have prayer requests and concerns this morning? My friend Angie, who usually accompanies me, woke up with a fever this morning, so we just lift her in prayer. Please be mindful of the folks on the back of the bulletin that we pray for from week to week. Well, I am filled with joy that this choir is here among us, as well as so many of our guests. Let us go to God in prayer. Let us pray. Wonderful God, creator of all that is seen and is unseen, we praise you with our lips and give you thanks that you call us to worship you, to give you praise. Give us the grace and courage to always boldly praise you. For you don't need our praise, but we need to give you praise. It changes our circumstance. The praises on our lips alter the atmosphere around us and give us an environment of hope and of peace. This morning, we lift up all who are suffering from illness, from natural disaster, from ongoing war. We pray for those in danger. We pray for those in exile, whether made of their own choices or forced upon them. And we claim your restoration, O God, for each of these and for everyone gathered here this morning. God, thank you that you are not only closer to us than our own breath, but larger, that your ways are not our ways, and as far as the stars are from us in the sky, that's how far away and above your thoughts are from our thoughts. We need a big God. I give you thanks and praise for the gift of music. Surely the words of praise are given to us in music when we get beyond words. We give you thanks that if we didn't sing or hear your music, that your creation, your rocks cry out in praise, and your creation sings your praise. Let us be filled this morning, filled to overflowing, that we might go out from this place to pour into others, just as Jesus Christ poured into us and to his first disciples, teaching them to pray together like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As our ushers come, it's a joy and a privilege to remember that we get to participate in what God is doing in the world. And to be reminded that music is a great evangelism tool. So as we give generously to our offering this morning, let us remember to give generously to the Roan State Community Concert Choir as well, that their music might reach hearts. Gracious God, we give you thanks for these gifts and pray your blessings upon them, that they might multiply in the world and fall on fertile soil, be watered, and grow into your kingdom. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you. By the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save.
I who made the stars of night, I who made the darkness bright, who will bear my light to them?
By the Lord of snow and rain, I have borne my people's pain. I have wept for love of them. They turn away. I will break their hearts of stone. Give them hearts for love alone. I will speak my word to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart.
Finest bread I will provide, till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it
Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, I ask that you make our hearts fertile ground. Water in us a desire and a longing for you, and that the seed of your word might take root in us and grow us to be better and closer and more devoted friends with you. In Christ's name I ask it. Amen. The reading this morning is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 1 through 9. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that you do not know shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon the Lord while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he might have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I love the imagery of the rich food. I'm at that age where, you know, I got to start paying better attention to what I eat. And my doctor gave me a book, suggested a book to read about, like, staving off dementia and Alzheimer's. And this book recommended the keto diet. And I had researched that a little bit, you know, but never really gone full on into it. But I thought, I'm going to do this. I love it. Do you know I drank a pint of cream last week? Talk about your rich foods. And after a week of being on it, I'm not hungry. It's awesome. Now, you know, I do love my carbs, and that's a part of the problem. You know, being Italian, and I can eat the spaghetti until the spaghetti is all gone. So keto's probably good, and then when I get leveled off, maybe once a month I can have spaghetti or something. But the imagery of rich foods, what we read of in the psalm of the marrow and the fat, I mean, that's what you get with keto, man. I made stuffed mushroom caps the other day with pork sausage and cream cheese and Parmesan cheese, and my husband's like, those are good. And then I had another, and I couldn't eat any more because they were so rich. This richness, this abundance, is just scratches the surface of what God wants to give us in this abundant life. And wants to fill us up just as we fill ourselves up to full and satisfaction with food. God wants us to be full and satisfied spiritually. You know, in the movie Bruce Almighty, I love that movie. It's so well done. And if you're not familiar with it, or to remind you about it, Bruce is this guy that is getting frustrated, and he cries out to God, I wish I had all your power. Well, God grants this wish and gives Bruce all the power, and Bruce proceeds to mess a lot of things up. especially the things he wants the most. And so finally, in the climactic scene toward the end of the movie, he falls down on his knees and he says, "I give up, I surrender." And the point of that movie is there is an almighty, but we ain't them. And life just brings us to that point, I think. I spent an hour on the phone yesterday counseling a friend who lives in Chicago. She's a young woman who works hard and is attractive and smart, and she got a couple of those smacks upside the head from life, right, that thwarted how she thought things were going to go. She longs desperately for this sense of completion, that when she's almost done with school, that she'll finish school, that she'll get married and have a family. She defines this as her wholeness and her deep happiness. And then several things happened the other day that just flew in the face of all her well-made plans that she had for all of this to happen. She believed that she knew exactly how all these things should happen. She believed that because she is so smart, so hardworking, so attractive, that these things should just fall into place as she wants them to by her own making. But that is not how life works. I've got it all under control. I'm the man or woman with the plan. It can work for some or most to a point. But then life brings a point. Life always brings at least one point, sometimes several, that our own machinations and our own maneuvers just won't take us through work anymore. A dream for ourselves has shattered. A dream for a child has shattered. A loved one dies and we don't know how to go on living without them. We work hard for so long and we don't get the outcome we desire, like Bruce Almighty or like my friend. Life happens. We know the saying, life is what happens while we're busy making other plans, right? We can desperately long for something and work hard for it and still come up spiritually empty. How can that be? How can that be? Well, the psalm we read earlier and Isaiah give us words from God that might give us a clue, and it's tied up in our longing. It is good and okay to long, to want, to desire. My friend is not flawed for wanting things. Longing is a driver. It is God-given. The thing is, because our longings and desires are God-given, they are also filled by being God-directed. You see, our spirituality deepens and gets stronger when we direct our desires back to God. Spiritual hunger and spiritual thirsts are gifts to get us to connect or reconnect with God, our source. That's what's going on in Psalm 63. The psalmist is committing the longing back to God by doing two things. First, the psalmist offers a confession of faith. Oh God, you are my God. And then second, the psalmist offers a confession of deep longing. I seek you, my soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you. The psalmist is a faithful believer. The gift of the psalmist is that even faithful believers sometimes feel like something's missing. Believers sometimes thirst for something more. Now, many of us were taught to believe that we were failing somehow if I only prayed right or prayed enough or bowed a certain way or fasted on Fridays, then we would find deep satisfaction, but that's not the case. That's not biblical. According to the psalmist, feeling unsatisfied is not a curse. It's not a sin. It's not a sign of failure. He compares his spiritual longing for God to the physical need of thirst. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thirst and hunger are natural experiences that we understand. And the analogy is very helpful. I should know. I know a lot about eating and drinking. I don't go anywhere without my big 32-ounce thing of ice water. Now, what would you say to somebody if they came up to you and said, I just don't know what is going on. I'm hungry. I ate 3 meals yesterday, but I'm hungry again. Would you say, oh, there's something wrong with you? No. You would say, well, yeah, that's natural. That's the way your body was designed. You need food and you need water to meet your physical needs. And God has blessed us, given us an earth that provides food so we can eat and be filled and live. It's a natural process. Hunger's not a sign of our body being broken. Neither is spiritual hunger a sign of our spirits being broken. We need regular encounter with the divine. That's the way we were designed. We need a regular encounter to meet our spiritual needs, and God has blessed us with the ability to connect with that which is beyond us, beyond the physical. With physical hunger, we don't go around saying, am I going to eat or am I going to starve myself when I'm hungry? No, we say, I'm going to eat, preferably something good for me, something healthy. The healthy things require more work and more prep time. But it's worth it in the long run. Otherwise, we'll be hungry again in 10 minutes. In the same way with spiritual hunger, we don't ask, am I going to seek meaning and depth or cut myself off from life? No, we say, am I going to be honest about my feelings? Am I going to return this longing back to God? Or am I going to settle for something more shallow and distracting? Ooh, I wonder what's on TV. What time's the UT game on today? Who took the chips? If you are spiritually starving, there's food. If you're dying of thirst, there's drink. But our culture offers way too many opportunities to create what I call spiritual leptin resistance. Now, there's this thing called leptin resistance. I looked it up. It's very complicated. This is a gross over-exaggeration. Basically, leptin is a hormone that sends your hypothalamus thing that you are full. In some people, I think I'm one of them, the brain doesn't get the message of feeling full. And what has happened to cause this is that there's, over the last 50 years, we've had this increase, this abundance of really yummy, easily accessible, highly palatable, aka stuff that really tastes good but isn't good for you, food. Well, the same is true with spiritual hunger. All we do is feast on the stuff that's not good for us, we're hungry again in 10 minutes. Is with spiritual hunger, we can be spiritually leptin resistant. That is, we can never feel spiritually full if all we do is kind of scratch the surface, go to the shallow, fill my spiritual need quickly. In 1985, a guy named Neil Postman wrote a book called Amusing Ourselves to Death. I had to read this book in a Christian ethics class in seminary, and in it he suggests that the world has become a place where distractions, like junk food for the brain and junk food for the spirit, are the norm. We have replaced, he suggests, rational conversation, which requires thought and participation, with entertainment, which requires passive reception. When I read this book, I was like, maybe an overstatement. I don't know, it was like 1988. Today, I see, oh yeah, spiritual, he was right. We have information overload. We can absolutely amuse ourselves to death. We can absolutely give ourselves spiritual leptin resistance, always hungering for something, always devouring, never feeling satisfied. If we are spiritually starving, we might try what the psalmist did and returning our longing to God, making a confession that there's an Almighty and I'm not it. We might try hearing the words from Isaiah. This is the section of Isaiah that's called the comfort section. Comfort, comfort ye my people. Isaiah's urgings to listen in Isaiah 55, verse 3, to seek the Lord in verse 6, and to choose between wickedness and the way of the Lord, verse 7, all show the passage's connections with wisdom tradition. Isaiah is speaking to a people who have just come out of exile and are now entering into a time of restoration. And the invitation issued by Isaiah 55 is similar to that of woman wisdom to her table in Proverbs 9. Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight. These passages emphasize the choices a person faces in the course of a life, especially when life brings you to a point. The beauty of God's call in these passages is that they are a divine summons, like that beautiful song we heard. They are a divine call, an engraved invitation, not a command. God doesn't command a choice for him. God doesn't demand your choice to seek God. God invites, God persuades, God entices with the rich marrow and fat and wine and bread. Isaiah spoke to God's people who had lost their way and were coming back, saying, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and labor for what doesn't satisfy? The good news for us and for Israel is that God restores Israel and God is still in the restoration business. Are you choosing to continue in exile? The restoration is underway. We each in Lent are invited to reflect on the state of our soul. How is it with your soul? John Wesley always liked to ask. And the story of God's interactions with God's people contained in the Bible is a place of continually God saying, I want to restore, I want to restore. The invitation is to cross out of exile and into restoration. The invitation is these scriptures wanting to teach us to school our hearts in the things of God so that we do long for and what we seek and what we desire is not more of what leaves us hungry and empty, but what fills that is more of God. The whole of the book of Psalms is meant to teach us the values and the expectations and the practices of God's heart for the world so that we might obtain that same heart. Psalm 63 and Isaiah are explicit about directing our desires away from amusing ourselves to death and choosing to fill ourselves with good and healthy spiritual food. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips. This, for the psalmist, is a description of the good life. This, for the psalmist, is an invitation, along with Isaiah's, to long for the presence of God. Let us, in this season, recenter ourselves, recenter our values, our expectations, our practices on the only one who is truly worthy of our desire and our love. And when life brings you a point, redirect your longing back to God, that God might lead you out of exile and back into the restoration. Thanks be to God. Go forth to walk with Jesus, knowing that you go in the strength of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
So let's do come all who thirst next, please, celebration.